Hello, this is Brian Michael Page. Welcome to the Christos Vincit Podcast, a division of the Christos Vincit Network. Podcast
number 4.
Christos Vincit, Christus Regnat, Christus Imperat.
Hello and welcome to our podcast. Today is Wednesday, January 4th, 2006, the Memorial Feast for St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. Today we'll be going a little bit further on our tour of the IGMR, or the Journey Through the Germ. We'll also be playing a piece of music for you today that isn't at all within the mass context, but is a cover of something I'll bet we haven't heard in about 30 plus years. And this is something that happens only when the lead guitarist for a country duo, Brooks and Dunn, bashes heads with Johann Sebastian Bach.
Journey Through the Germ.
Today's Journey Through the Germ, or the tour of the IGMR, that is the Instructio Generalis Missalis Romanis, or General Instruction of the Roman Missal, takes us through the Liturgy of the Word. Okay, after the Gloria, the celebrant says or sings the opening prayer, that is the collect of the day, to which all respond, Amen. From there we listen to the first reading, which in most cases, not all, is taken from the Old Testament. Rarely it's from the Book of Revelation. One of those very rare cases would be like All Saints Day. During Easter season it's usually from the Acts of the Apostles, but otherwise it's usually from the Old Testament the rest of the liturgical year. Now, following that, we go to the responsorial psalm, or the gradual, depending on which source you are using. Mm-hmm. Now, here's paragraph 61. I'm going to take this paragraph in pieces, as it's fairly long. After the first reading comes the responsorial psalm, which is an integral part of the liturgy of the word and holds great liturgical and pastoral importance, because it fosters meditation on the word of God. The responsorial psalm should correspond to each reading and should, as a rule, be taken from the lectionary. The lectionary, of course, is the book of readings for the church year. At this time, there are only two translations in the English language that are approved by the Bishop's Committee on the Liturgy for use as responsorial psalms. The lectionary for Mass, of course, is the primary. The other is the Grail, the translation that comes from England. This is the translation that was used with the psalm tones of the French Jesuit Père Joseph Gélineau and is used in many of the hymnals available from GIA publications, namely Worship 3rd Edition. Now, of course, in Worship 3rd Edition, the Grail translation is the translation that comes with the readings in that hymnal. Now, though the Grail translation of the psalm verses may be used, the antiphon, that is the people's response, must come from the lectionary for Mass. And I can tell you Worship 3rd Edition, because I used it when I was at Holy Name in Providence, was very compliant to that. Continuing further, it is preferable that the responsorial psalm be sung, at least as far as the people's response is concerned. That is so true. Personally, I believe the entire responsorial psalm should be sung. That is, the cantor, who acts as psalmist, sings the verses, as well as the people singing the antiphon. Many a time, the people will sing the antiphon, and the lector will read the verses. Well, that's only half the job. It should be sung by a cantor, and the people sing their response, which is their antiphon. Now, going on here. Hence, the psalmist, or the cantor of the psalm, sings the verses of the psalm from the ambo or another suitable place. The ambo, for those who don't know what that is the lectern where the readings are normally read. However, it also says, or another suitable place. Many parishes don't have a reliable cantor program. Often the organist has no choice but to cantor himself or herself from the organ console, which in still a good amount of cases is in the loft in the back of the church. However, if the resources are available, that is, you have a reliable cantor, sure, send him or her to the ambo for the psalm. And for the Alleluia, too. That will come later in the show. But please, make sure he or she comes back to the general music area for the hymn at the offertory. Now, going on again. The entire congregation remains seated and listens, but as a rule, takes part by singing the response, except when the psalm is sung straight through without a response. Well, I've yet to see any case where the psalm is sung without a response, with maybe a couple of exceptions. One, the use of the gradual or tract from the Roman gradual. We'll get to that in a little bit. And two, during the Liturgy of the Hours, that is, Lauds, Vespers, Compline, Sextets, Tears, Known, where the antiphon is sung only at the beginning and the end of the psalm. But anywho, in order, however, that the people may be able to sing the psalm response more readily, texts of some responses and psalms have been chosen for the various seasons of the year or for the various categories of saints. These may be used in place of the text corresponding to the reading whenever the psalm is sung. This, folks, is what is known as the common psalm or seasonal psalm. As a rule, personally, I prefer to stick with the propers. The antiphons for the people are short, often easy to pick up, despite there being many. Remember, the lectionary for Mass is a 3-year cycle, which means you probably have about 150 or so antiphons to work with. That is why, however, seasonal psalms may be used at any time. They are in the lectionary in a section placed after all the propers. Like the proper psalm, the seasonals have specific uses and purposes too, so you need to watch out what you're programming there. Now, going forward, if the psalm cannot be sung, then it should be recited in such a way that it is particularly suited to fostering meditation on the Word of God, which is fine, if you ask me, if it's low Mass, with either just hymns or no music at all. Now, here's the other half, and this tells you some of the other options you have. In the dioceses of the United States of America, the following may also be sung in place of the psalm assigned in the lectionary for Mass. Either the proper or seasonal antiphon and psalm from the lectionary, as found in either the Roman gradual or simple gradual, or in another musical setting, or an antiphon and psalm from another collection of the psalms and antiphons, including psalms arranged in metrical form, providing that they have been approved by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops or the diocesan bishops. Songs or hymns may not be used in place of the responsorial psalm. Now, in place of the proper and seasonal responsorial psalm, you may use what's called the gradual, which is either from the Roman gradual or the simple gradual. The simple gradual is the seasonal version of the Roman gradual. These texts may be sung to another musical setting. It doesn't always have to be Gregorian chant or that particular melody that's in those books. Mm-hmm. Other settings can be used, although the Gregorian melodies in these books are highly encouraged. Psalms arranged in metrical form, yes, settings of any of the above can be sung in meter, provided the bishops approve it. Basically, that means the text would have to be approved, and the music would have to be fit, of course, for liturgy. Now, a prime example of this is a collection from GIA called Songs of Israel, Volumes 1 and 2, by Providence's own, the late Dr. C. Alexander Pelequin. Songs or hymns may not be used in place of the responsorial psalm. Sorry, that eliminates On Eagle's Wings, I Have Loved You, and Make Me a Channel of Your Peace, at least in terms of responsorial psalms.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Now, following the responsorial psalm is the second reading, which of course is taken from the great epistles of the New Testament, the letters of the New Testament. And after that is done, we all stand and we go into the Alleluia. Now here's paragraph 62 to tell the tale. After the reading that immediately precedes the Gospel, the Alleluia, or another chant indicated by the rubrics, is sung, as required by the liturgical season. An acclamation of this kind constitutes a rite or act in itself, by which the assembly of the faithful welcomes and greets the Lord who is about to speak to them in the Gospel, and professes their faith by means of the chant. It is sung by all while standing, and is led by the choir or a cantor, being repeated if this is appropriate. The verse, however, is sung by either the choir or by the cantor. As you can see, this is treated pretty much just like the responsorial psalm, and in such a manner the cantor sings the antiphon, Alleluia, and the people repeat it, Alleluia. Then the cantor sings the verse, and the people repeat, Alleluia. Now, in the people's Alleluia response, it's only one word, Alleluia. It can be repeated, like in the triple Alleluia you just heard a couple of minutes ago. In fact, it can be a single, double, triple, fourfold, sixfold, twentyfold, whatever fold. However, adding phrases such as give thanks to the risen Lord or praise the word of truth and life are highly discouraged, despite publishers' and composers' opinions. Just Alleluia. And you can repeat it as many times as necessary. Now here's the second half of the Alleluia paragraph. The Alleluia is sung in every season other than Lent. The verses are taken from the lectionary or the graduale. During Lent, in place of the Alleluia, the verse before the Gospel is sung as indicated in the lectionary. It is also permissible to sing another psalm or tract as found in the graduale. During Lent, you have a choice of four acclamations to replace the Alleluia in English. They are 1. Glory and praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. 2. Praise and honor to you, Lord Jesus Christ. 3. Glory to you, Word of God, Lord Jesus Christ. 4. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. These are the four that are provided in the lectionary for Mass. However, you can also use the tract from the Roman Gradual, which they refer to in the paragraph as the Graduale. It's a straight-through psalm that can be sung by all. It can be sung by the choir only, or it can be sung alternately between the people and the choir, or the people and the cantor. These also vary in length, from very short, like in the second Sunday of Lent, to very long, like in either the first Sunday of Lent or Palm Sunday. Now for a look at something that happens on rare occasions, and it's usually just before the Alleluia, and that is the sequence. Paragraph 64 states, the sequence, which is optional except on Easter Sunday and on Pentecost Day, is sung before the Alleluia. The sequence Victimae Paschali Laudes, or Christians to the Paschal Victim, is the required sequence on Easter Sunday. It's not used in the Easter Vigil, obviously. There's enough going on as it is on the Easter Vigil. I mean, your average Mass is 2 to 2.5 hours long, as it is. But it is sung on Easter Sunday, mandatory. This is sung just before the Alleluia. Now, the Easter sequence can, does not have to, but can continue to be used right up through the octave, which is, of course, the Sunday after Easter, as an option, but it is required on Easter Sunday. On Pentecost Sunday, the Veni Sancte Spiritus, or Come Thou Holy Spirit Come, is used. Now again, it is not used on the Vigil, but required on Pentecost Sunday. Now on Corpus Christi, or the Body and Blood of Christ, that is the Sunday after Trinity, the sequence Laudation Salvatorem, or Lord O Sion, thy salvation, can be used. The use of the sequence here is only optional. Before the current missal, it was mandatory. Some parishes opt to use the shorter form Ecce Panis Angelorum, or Behold the Bread of Angels. That is the last four verses of the longer Laudation Salvatorem. Now, another thing that doesn't get mentioned much, but it is starting to resurface, is the funeral mass sequence that was used before the current missal, the Dies Irae, or Day of Wrath. Again, like I said, there is no mention of it in the current missal, nor in the Gregorian missal either. However, it was never suppressed. Also, there were talks at one point about moving the sequence to where it used to be, which was after the Alleluia. However, no progress has been made in that front, so for now, it's still before the Alleluia. Now we're going to play something a little different here. Please, folks, don't use this at Mass. This is for your listening pleasure only. Here is Charlie Crow. That was Charlie Crow and Joy, brought to you by the PodSafe Music Network. Charlie has been the lead guitarist for the country duo Brooks & Dunn since 1994, and submitted a few pieces to the PodSafe Music Network. Wow, this guy can really make that guitar talk. I have not heard that song in about 30 years or so, back when Apollo 100 came out with it in 1972. Remember those one-hit wonders, Apollo 100? Back then it reached number 6 on the pop charts. I'm sure many of you recognize the adaptation, especially those who are involved in church music. Joy was Rock's answer to Jesu Joy of Man's Desiring by Johann Sebastian Bach. Shall we say, Bach meets Rock. Imagine that, 33 plus years since that song hit. I went through PodSafe, the network with a lot of music that you can play legally on podcasts. I searched the classical category and found it. And now, time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. Today's good, bad, and ugly scenario is brought to you by Enovena. That's right, Enovena. It's a device that you can keep in your pocket so that you may never miss a novena again. Available at the Kurt Jester blog site, www.splendoroftruth.com/Kurt Jester. Today we're in Christmas season for just a few more days. Baptism of the Lord is this Monday coming, the Monday after Epiphany. But while we're in Christmas season, here's our good, bad, and ugly scenario for the day.
The good.
While shepherds watch their flocks by night.
The bad.
Children run joyfully.
The ugly.
Children run joyfully, sung by Barney and Friends. How's something even worse? Medley that with the I Love You song. Now you have a major. And now we have some websites of interest for you. The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops is loaded with all things Catholic, including links to the Germ, news stories, and even links to every diocese in the United States. And you can find them at www.usccb.org. Ever want to explore the Holy See? Well, now you can. The Vatican has its own website, and you can surf it in six languages: English, Dutch, Spanish, French, Italian, and Portuguese. Everything from liturgy information to news. And you can find them at www.vatican.va. Also, the Ignatius Insight Scoop is a blog written by the authors and staff of Ignatius Press. Very informative Catholic blog. One article of high liturgical interest is the preference to a book called The Organic Development of the Liturgy by Alcuin Reed, who is a Benedictine. The preface was written by none other than Joseph Cardinal Ratzinger, who of course is now Pope Benedict XVI. The Ignatius Insight Scoop is at insightscoop.typepad.com/2004. That is insightscoop.typepad.com/2004. You like a good clean parody? I do too. Jeff Miller, aka the Kurt Jester, has a blog with great articles and some really funny stuff too. Jeff's a convert to Catholicism after 40 years of atheism, and his outlook on faith is so much greater. Many of his parodic products are also found in Sparrow News. The Kurt Jester, www.splendoroftruth.com/Kurt Jester, CURTJESTER. Don't forget to check out the Christus Vincit Network. It's updated regularly. Today you can find the music list in the Music Ministry pages updated to the end of the month of January. The Christus Vincit blog is always packed with something new. We are at www.christusvincit.net. That's CHRISTUSVINCIT.net.
Hi, this is Father Jay Finelli from iPadre Catholic Podcast.
iPadre.
Interviews, stories, news, music, all things Catholic and then some. Drop by our site at iPadre.net. That's iPadre.net. God love you.
iPadre.
That promo there you just heard is for the iPadre podcast, hosted by Father Jay Finelli, who is my pastor, my boss, and he does an excellent podcast. You can join him at www.ipadre.net. Thank you very much for joining me today. We will continue our journey through the germ in our next podcast. I am Brian Michael Page. Peace.
Christus vincit, Christus regnat, Christus imperat.